Good morning. I'm not Jamie Riley. I didn't say anything, Jamie. I just said, I'm not you. They laughed. And the guy that gets up here next week won't be Jamie Riley either. It'll be Tom Kelly. And the week after that, Spike Farrell has consented to speak for us. And then the week after that will be Jamie Riley. Or is that Thanksgiving? No, that's the last Sunday, isn't it? And we've got some more guys that are ready for December. So that's the great thing about this congregation. There's a lot of talent here. There are a lot of people that are willing to serve. It's kind of a legacy of Sunshine in grooming men into speakers. We saw that last Sunday evening. If you were here, we had a young man speak for us, and we make that available every fourth Sunday evening. That has been a long-standing tradition in this congregation, and there have been a lot of gospel preachers come out of this congregation that are out preaching right now. It's something that I've always been proud of. I know that I got my start here, and am thankful that it was provided to me. That video that was playing this morning, I saw some of you watching it. Maybe you've seen that before. It's called Team Hoyt. If you go to YouTube and just look up, I guess you can type in My Redeemer Lives or type in Team Hoyt. The father in that video has a heart condition. Of course, you saw the condition of the son. And I had seen that before, and someone sent that to me again this week. And I've watched it two or three times. It always makes me tear up because the thing that I think about, I mean, first the son asked just to run a marathon, and it progressed to the Ironman, the triathlon that we were watching on that video, which consists of the swimming, the bicycle, and the running, just one right after the other. And I watched as he would scoop his son up and carry him and place him in the next vehicle. And being a father, I know what I would do for one of my children. And when you watch that and you saw what that man was willing to do for his child, and especially right there at the end, and all he can do, you can see that all he can do to communicate is type on that computer, and he just typed the word can. I can. And every time I watch that, and if you have access to a computer where you can watch that in private, I would really encourage you to do that and think about the love of God as he allowed his son to perish on the cross. It just, it overwhelms me. I can't understand it. It overwhelms me when I think about, as it's recorded, Jesus calling out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And you think about that guy, I think about that guy swimming in front of that boat and towing his son behind him. I mean, it's just powerful, at least for me. Let's pray right now. Father, I want to thank you for this day. I thank you for each person that's here this morning. Father, we thank you for your son, for the love that you had in sending him to this earth to die for us. Father, I ask that you would help us as we look into your word this morning. I pray that the things that I say will be the things that you once said, Father. I pray that the seed will fall upon good soil. Father, I'm praying that there are those here this morning that have not accepted your son yet, that they would do it today before it's eternally too late, Father. We pray your blessing on the remainder of this service. We pray for the sick. We thank you for all that you do for us, and we thank you the most for your Son. It's in his name we pray. Amen. If you'd open to Luke chapter 22, we're going to begin in verse 31. I'm reading out of the New King James Version today. I try to read the NIV most of the time when I'm up here, but this morning I'm just going to read out of the New King James, so the language is probably a little bit different if you're reading NIV, but the theme is the same. Luke 22 and verse 31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. When you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. But he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Then he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day before you will deny three times that you know me. Jesus told Peter, he said, Satan has asked for you. And when you consider that statement, he said he's asked for you so he can sift you like wheat. And whenever I read this scripture, I just envision going out into a wheat field when the wheat is ripe, the heads are ripe, and pulling them off. And you can rub them out if you've ever done this. You can rub it out in your hand, and you begin to get the kernels of wheat out of the husks, out of the straw, and then you hold your hand up and you blow it. And then as you continue to rub and blow, you begin to pour that back and forth, and you can rid that wheat of that chaff and eat that raw wheat. I always liked to do that when I was a kid. I liked the taste of that. But I think about how long that took. I don't really know how long it took. I never really timed it. I didn't care. But it took some effort. But I think of that when I read this scripture. Jesus told Simon, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Look what Peter says. He said, I'm ready to go to prison for you, Jesus. I'm ready to go to prison for you. I'm ready to go to death for you. That's what he thought in his mind. He believed that, or he wouldn't have said it. I'm ready to go to prison. I'm even ready to die. What are you talking about, Jesus? What do you mean Satan wants me? What do you mean he's asked for me? How's he going to take me and manipulate me like that? Because I'm ready. I'll go to prison. I'll even die. And Jesus told Peter, he said, the rooster will not crow this day before you will deny three times that you know me. And that's here in this account, but I want to look at Matthew's account, Matthew 26. Matthew's the only one that records it just like this. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 69. It says, Peter sat outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him, saying, you also were with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied it before them all, saying, I don't know that man. Look what he just said. I'm ready to go to prison. I'm ready to die for you. And all this girl has to do is come up and say, you also were with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied it. He said, I do not know what you are saying. And when he had gone out to the gateway, another girl saw him and said to those who were there, this fellow also was with Jesus of Nazareth. But again he denied with an oath, "I do not know the man." And after a while, those who stood by came to him and said to Peter, "Surely, you also are one of them, because your speech betrays you." And he began to curse and swear, saying, "I do not know the man." And immediately a rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus, who said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Then he went out and he wept bitterly. Boy, that would be a tough situation to be in. And probably some of us have been in that situation. We believed that we would go to prison for Jesus. We believed that we would die for him. And the very next thing that happens is we end up denying him in some form or another. Maybe not just coming out and saying, "Well, I don't know who he is." But we end up denying him in some form or the other. Satan has asked for you. Now look over at 1 Peter chapter 5. And I think we can see the effect. I think we can see the effect that that all of this had upon Peter. We know that Peter was eventually restored. We have that record in the Gospel of John. Peter was eventually restored. And in this letter, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and verse 9, Peter writes down these words, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever." Peter says to be sober, to be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. What does it mean to be sober? If you're drunk or under the influence of some kind of a substance, legally or illegally, you know, sometimes we get prescriptions from doctors, and on the prescription it says, if you're taking this medication, don't operate a motor vehicle. Why? Because your skill to do that will be impaired. It'll affect your reaction time. Maybe you won't even be able to stay awake. So that's not sober. That's not sober. It's not about your wits. To be vigilant, because danger is near. If I told you that there was a rattlesnake loose in the auditorium this morning, that I came in here and turned one loose this morning before you all got here, I bet you'd be pretty vigilant. You'd probably be looking around wondering, where in the world is that thing at? What did Peter just say? He said to be sober and to be vigilant. Be on your guard and be aware of what is going on around you. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, he's walking about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Well, we forget about that. We get all caught up in living our life and doing all the things that we do, and we forget. We forget that Satan is out there, that he's walking around, and he's looking. Just like the Lord told Peter, he wants you. He's asked for you, as a matter of fact. Satan has asked for you. He wants to sift you like wheat. And look what Peter writes later. He says, you need to be sober. You need to be vigilant. Why do we flirt with sin? Why do we flirt with sin? Because that's not vigilant. And that's not sober. We all know our temptation. We all know the things, the places where we're weak. And why do we flirt with that? We've been busy in the United States of America. The United States of America has been busy in chipping away at the very foundation that this country was founded upon. And it is all because of the evil one. And we've bought into it. Even the people in the church, we have bought into it. Peter said to be sober and to be vigilant because your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Over in the book of Job, and we're not going to turn over there, but in the first chapter, and verse 6 and 7. And you know, Job can be a confusing book when you get on over into it, but the first part is really clear. It says, there was a day that the sons of God came to present themselves before God, and Satan came also. He was right there. I don't really understand this. I don't really understand this because he is evil. He is the very essence of evil. Anything that is evil is because of him. And yet God asked him, he said, where did you come from? Where have you come from? He said, I've been going to and fro on the earth. I've been walking up and down in it. He says, God, I've just been wherever I want down there on the earth. I've been wherever I want. I've been over to Jamie's house. I've been to visit Al. I've been watching Regina Coon on her new job. I watched Ralph and Spike and Ruth and John. I've just been walking around, God. I've been looking at people. He said, have you considered my servant Job, that he is an upright man and one that fears God? He said, well, sure. I'm paraphrasing. Sure, I've considered him. He says, does Job fear God for nothing? Look how you've blessed him. Everything he touches turns to gold. Why wouldn't he fear you? And God said, I'll show you what kind of man he is. You can take everything he's got. And he did that in one day. He took everything that he had in one day. Except he left his wife. And she would become a thorn in his side not much longer after that. He took everything he had, all of his children, all of his flocks, all of his herds, everything. He took everything that he had. And in chapter 2, it happens again. He says, the same thing. Where'd you come from? Satan gives the same answer. He said, have you considered my servant Job, that even though you have moved me against him, still he maintains his integrity? And Satan said, ah, skin for skin, everything that a man has, he'll give for his life. That's true, isn't it? I'd give you everything I had for my life. If you gave me the choice, if you put the gun to my head, I even used to tell people that in the store when I was working in the store, because people used to come in our stores with guns, you know, in the drug stores, sawed-off shotguns and pistols and all kinds of things. I used to tell my people, I said, give them all the money out of the cash register. If they ask for your car key, give them that too. give it to them. And run. Run out the front door. If they go to the back, run out the front. Because there's nothing we have, there's nothing you have worth your life. And that's what Satan said. He said, skin for skin, all that a man has, he'll give for his life. And God said, okay, you can touch him, but you can't kill him. So it says that he inflicted him with sore boils from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head. And Job sat down in the ashes in sackcloth with a piece of broken pottery to scrape all that infection off of his body as it began to break open and ooze. And still, it says, he did not curse God with his lips. I've put myself mentally in that situation before and wondered. Just wondered. Because Peter said, Lord, I'm ready to go to prison. Not only am I ready to go to prison, I'm ready to die. But he didn't do that. As soon as they asked him, he denied. And when Job is at his utmost misery I can't even begin to fathom in my mind, his wife says, do you still maintain your integrity? Curse God and die. There's people that believe that's the answer. If I can just get up out of this life, it'll all be good. No, it won't. No, it won't. Not without God. Not without God. That is the deceit of Satan. Just get out of this life. Just end your misery. If you're without Jesus Christ, you just entered misery beyond your wildest dreams, beyond your wildest imagination. Be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I want to tell you how we've bought into it. You think of the things that are on the television set these days. How many of you remember Happy Days? Raise your hand up. I mean, remember Happy Days when it came out on TV. Right? I'm not talking the reruns. I'm talking about when it came out on TV. My dad would not let me watch, or anybody else in our house, Happy Days on TV. Man, I could not understand it. I didn't argue with him about it, but I didn't understand it. I always wanted to watch it. But I wasn't allowed. It was not allowed to be on, you know, and Dad offered like a two-sentence explanation. And that's all you got, you know. And you think now what's on television. And Happy Days is like, I mean, it's whatever is better than a G rating, that's what Happy Days is. Happy Days is like cartoons now, compared to what they put on television. It's horrible what they put on television. But we sit and we soak it in, and our kids watch it. And they learn the language. And they learn about the nudity. And they learn about the cursing. And they learn about the swearing. And they learn that everything that God said is wrong is okay, because society believes it's okay, and it's not. That's how we've bought into the deceit and the lie. We've just bought into it, and we're comfortable with it. We ain't any problem with it at all. Peter said, be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Came home from work one day, and Gabe was about, I don't know, four. He was just talking good, and been kind of a long day. And usually my routine at that time when I came in the house is I would come in the front door, and I would head all the way, just a tiny little house we were renting, But I would head all the way to the kitchen because out there was some coat hooks on the wall, and I would hang my coat out there. And on my way through, I would be striding through because I was in this big hurry like I always am. I'd be striding through, and I'd reach down with my arm, and I'd scoop him up into my arm, and I'd just keep right on going. That's how I came into the house every night. I'd scoop him up in my arm because I hadn't seen him all day, and I wanted to see him, and I'd keep right on going. And this one day, I looked down at him, and he said, "Dad, how'd you like a free shot in the mouth?" I said, "What?" I said, "What did you say?" I said, "How would you like a free shot in the mouth?" And I called out to Tammy. I said, "Where did he hear that?" You know, I'm thinking, he watches Sesame Street. Where do you hear that? Because we didn't talk like that, especially not in front of him. That's an impressionable mind, isn't it? 4 years old, 5 years old, 6 years old, they're like little mockingbirds. Where did he hear that? Listen to your kids and ask yourself, where are they hearing that? Watch your kids and ask yourself, where are they seeing that? Where do they hear that? Where do they see that? How do you like this one? "Excuse my French." You ever heard that? Anybody ever heard that? Right before somebody curses, "Excuse my French." Anybody ever heard that? Raise your hand up. Yeah. We have not bought in to Satan at all. "Excuse my French." What do you think God thinks about that excuse? Because it isn't French. It's not French. It's filth. It's not French. It's just not. Be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. I don't know where he's going to get in. I know where he's going to get into my life. I know where he gets into my life. I don't know where he's going to get into your life. Some of us share things in common. Some of us share things, they're singular to ourselves. Maybe we don't know anyone else with that weakness. Have you considered my servant, Don Ramey? Have you considered my servant, Dale Gant? Have you considered my servant, Gene Reisner? I'll guarantee you he has. I'll guarantee you he has. That's his nature. His nature is to invade and destroy anything that is godlike and good in any way at all. Over the past few years since our kids left home, if Tammy and I get into an argument, you know, I'll look at her and I'll say, "You know what this is? We need to stop this right now. We need to stop this argument right now." I said, "You know what this is? You know what it is? Anybody sitting out there, do you know what it is? Shake your head if you do. It's Satan." You know what I told her one time? I said, "What a victory it would be if he could take an elder in the church and destroy a 35-year marriage. You think he doesn't want to? Think again. Think again. You think he doesn't want to destroy yours? Think again. What a victory. What a victory. How many people could be destroyed by that? How many people could be destroyed by that?" Let's tell her, this is Satan. We got to stop it. We got to stop it right now. We got to stop. Put an end to this. I love you. You love me. This is not what we're about. It's got to stop. Be sober and be vigilant. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. It gives us another dimension to this whole thing. Paul says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." I want to tell you something. If you think you're strong enough to fight against Satan, you're kidding yourself. If you think that you are strong enough to fight against Satan, you're kidding yourself. Because we're not. There's people that really believe that. All it takes for me to be a Christian is this much. You're kidding yourself. I can live with one foot in the world and one foot in the church. You're kidding yourself. The elders can't tell me what to do. Is that your attitude? That it's somebody telling you what to do? Satan already has you and you don't even see it. Because you're right, literally, the elders can't tell you what to do. And we don't try. We try to suggest what you should do for your spiritual health, but we can't force you to do anything. If that's your attitude, he's already got you and you don't even see it. They can't tell me what to do. People can't tell me I need to be to church on Sunday night. I went Sunday morning. I don't need to go back Sunday night. Phew. That's scary stuff. That is scary stuff. I don't want to be with the Christians. Where do I want to be if I don't want to be with the Christians? Maybe that's the question you should ask yourself. Where is it I want to be if I don't want to be with Christians? Where is it that I want to be? I want to be somewhere. I don't want to be there, or I would be there. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I've gotten into watching professional bull riding. I love it. I've hooked my wife. Ask her. She can tell you the names of some of those bull riders. I couldn't tell you the name of any football, basketball, or baseball player that's playing right now, but I can tell you the names of professional bull riders. You know what they have to do? They have to work out. When they're not riding bulls, they have to work out. The stronger that arm is, the longer they can stay on. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. If you're losing the battle, guess why? You're not strong in the Lord. If you keep falling off, guess why? You're not exercising. You're not strong in the Lord. And he talks about it. He says, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but we believe we are. When I get in an argument with my wife, what am I doing? What am I doing? I'm right and she's, somebody say it, wrong. Okay? When we're arguing, she's right from her side and I'm wrong. Look what the book says. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. That's not where the fight is. You know why we've had so much trouble in years past in winning people to Christ? Because we fight against flesh and blood. We want to talk about names of individuals and names of groups and names of places, and down them the road they go, and that's how we think. It's not the way it's done. It said it plainly. We've had the same scripture for years. The battle is not against flesh and blood. It's just not. Why do congregations divide and fall apart and disintegrate? Why? Because we're fighting a flesh and blood battle. I can't stand him. I can't stand her. I can't stand that. I can't stand them. So what do I got to do? Something got to happen. Something got to give. I got to go. They got to go. You got to get out. It's not the answer. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Take up the whole armor of God, that you might be able to withstand in the evil day. And after you've done all you can to stand, take a stand. You take a stand. John Barry, take a stand. Dave Gamp, take a stand. Mark Gamp, take a stand. Take a stand. You take a stand. We're too busy waiting for Steve Miller to take a stand. Or Jamie Riley. You take a stand. How about you take a stand? Oh, you mean I got to do something? Yeah. You need to take a stand. Put on the armor. When you've prepared yourself the best you can, then you take a stand. Stand up and take a stand. Why? Because we're in a battle. We're in a battle. He says that plainly. It is a battle. You need the armor or you will fall. Take a stand. It's just not a battle against flesh and blood. If you're bumping head with people, then stop. Stop it. If you are bumping heads with people, stop it. It's not right. It's wrong. It's backwards. Josh read for us out of the book of Amos. And chapter 14 says to seek good, not evil. Seek good, not evil. And verse 15 says, hate evil and love good. Hate the evil and love good. I hate evil. Don't you? I hate it. I hate evil. I hate it with an unbelievable hate. I hate evil. You know, there's people in the medical profession that will go into a pregnant woman, late term, extract the baby's skull, crack into it, suck out the brains, put the baby back, go in and cut it up into pieces, and extract it, and call that abortion. It's called partial birth abortion. That's evil. That's evil. We bought into it in this country, by the way. It goes on. And you know what's so amazing? The person performing that procedure took a Hippocratic oath that said what? And does anybody know? What did they take a Hippocratic oath that says? To do no harm. First, do no harm. Whew. How did we get that into our country? How did we get that into our country? I'm sorry if I'm making you squirm. I believe it. I believe that Satan is active. I believe he has a hold of the United States of America. I believe he has a hold of the people in the United States of America. And I believe he has a hold of the people in the church. We wouldn't have let so many things get chiseled and chiseled and chiseled and chiseled away until they don't even exist anymore. And everything is so gray that we just cannot state the truth and we don't know where to stand. I believe it with all my heart. I believe it with all my heart. Put on the whole armor of God. And above all, take the shield of faith. What is the shield of faith? I like where it's put in the armor. The shield of faith, you can put it anywhere that you need it to be, to protect you. What is faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. What is faith? I believe it because God said it's true. I believe it because God said that it is true. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11, Paul makes this simple statement, and I'm really extracting this out of a kind of out of context, but the premise is the same. He says, we are not ignorant of his devices. And he's talking about they've disfellowshipped someone there in Corinth. And he said, now it's enough. It should be over. Bring them back in. Whoever you forgive, I forgive. He said, it is enough unless Satan should get an advantage over us. You see what he's saying? He says, it's enough. Forgive him. It's over. And then he makes that statement. He says, because we are not ignorant of his devices. And the question is are we ignorant? Have we gotten so far away that we've forgotten about his devices? He said that to Adam and Eve, he asked them a little question, a little tricky question. Remember what God said? Don't eat the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden. Everything else is yours. And Satan asked them this little tricky question. Did God say, Hey. Did God say you can't eat from the trees out there in the garden? Is that what God said? Eve said, no. That's not what God said. God said, don't eat from the tree in the middle of the garden. You know what he said next? Thou shalt not. You won't really die. You won't really die. Take a straw poll of people today. Who's going to hell? Nobody's going to hell. You take a straw poll of people today. Nobody's going to hell. Everybody's going to heaven. Everybody's going to heaven. No matter what, really. It just don't matter. You know, unless you're some kind of a serial killer, like you've been tried to be rehabilitated 15 times and you're still in prison over here on death row. Okay, well, maybe that guy might go to hell. I don't know. Just take a straw poll. You won't really die. Are we really dying? I've seen people really die in my life. I've shed real tears over them. I have seen people really die. But worse than that death, because see, we look back at that time and we say, well, they didn't really die. As a matter of fact, it was like 700 and some years later before Adam died. No, it wasn't. Because what happened that day? They were driven out of the garden from the presence of God. They were separated from God. Satan is a liar. He is a liar. And Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 44, he says he's a murderer. He was a murderer from the beginning. And he said he is a liar and he is the father of it. He's a liar. He's a tempter. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 and following, we find that what we call the three temptations of Christ, and the fact is, Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days being tempted by Satan. He is the tempter. James says, let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil. Neither does he tempt any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away by what? His own lust and enticed. And when lust conceives and gives birth and is full grown, it becomes sin, and sin becomes death. He is the tempter. When you're tempted, remember who it is. It is not God. Why'd God make me like this? Why'd God make her like that? Why'd God make that like that? It isn't God. It is not God. It's Satan. He is the tempter. He comes and removes the good seed. How many times have you left here and you've been moved by something, but somehow you held on and you got out the door and you didn't make the change, whatever it was that you needed to make. It was still heavy on your heart. And a few days down the way, all of a sudden you realize, hey, that don't really bother me like I thought it did. I'm probably okay. Whew, that's a relief. I've done that. He takes the good seed away, removes it. He sows the tares. He sows the weeds. He's the one scattering all the cares. I got to get this done. I got to get this done. I got to get that done. You guys are sitting there right now thinking about all the things that you got to get done today. All the things you got. I got to get this done. I got to get this done. I got to get this. Guess who's sowing the weeds and the tares in your life? Satan. I got to get this done. I got to get that done. I mean, I got to. I worked with a guy that believed that. When CVS bought us out, we got to get every other Saturday off, and he wouldn't take it. I said, man, are you out of your mind? What is wrong with you? We've worked this 7 days a week for as long as I can remember, and now all of a sudden we can get a Saturday off, and you won't take it? There's nobody to do payroll. I said, what? There's nobody to do payroll. I said, teach someone. What if they make a mistake? I said, what if you make a mistake? A mistake's a mistake. You just fix it. I told him, I said, you know what? This guy had a really bad heart condition. I said, you drop dead in there of a heart attack. They're going to pick you up, carry you out. They will never miss a beat. And they'll just shove somebody else right in there. When you believe that you've got to get it done in the face of everything that is good and right, guess who that is? That's Satan. He's the one sowing the tares. He's the one pulling you away from the things that you should be engaged in. He's the reason why you never have time to read your Bible. Guess who told you that? He's the one that tells you you never have time to read your Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 14 and 15. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. He transforms himself into an angel of light. Woo! Which one is he? It's no big thing if his ministers transform themselves into ministers of righteousness. Which ones are they? Who are they? How do I know? Put on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand. And when you've done all to stand, then stand. Stand up. If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, and I know that there are people here, and I know you've heard invitation after invitation after invitation, and you don't answer, that is the power of the evil one. That's the power of the evil one. And I don't know what deceit he's sown into your heart. A lot of people say, well, I'm just not good enough. I'm not good enough. I'll never be good enough. Or, I'm too good. I'm better than most of the people that are there that call themselves a Christian. Or, I got plenty of time. Or on and on and on, the deceit and the lies go. There's people sitting here that need to make changes in their life. They need to offer forgiveness. They need to ask forgiveness. They need to stand up and take a stand. Need to make an apology. Need to get their family right. Just, there's all kinds of things that we need to do. There's hidden sin sitting right here in these pews this morning that needs dealt with. And we hear it, and it gets us in the heart, and we go away, and we do nothing because of the deceiver. He's walking about as a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. And he started on us at our feet, and he's chewing clear up to our shoulders, and we don't even realize it. We don't even realize it. Man, I love you guys. I love everybody sitting here. I wouldn't tell you this stuff if I didn't. I believe this is real. I believe this is real. I don't believe this is a storybook. I believe it's real. I believe in the day of my death. I believe in the day of my physical death. It could be today. I'm 53 years old. I've had high cholesterol for as long as I can remember. I could have that blockage they call the widow maker. Boom! I believe in the day of my death. David said in the Psalms, teach us to number our days. Teach us to number our days. If we believed in Satan and we believed in the Lord the way that we should, we'd live every day like it was the last day. We'd stop our arguing and we'd stop our fighting and we'd stop all the hidden sin and we'd stop all the things that's going on and we would just simply obey the Lord. That's what we'd do. That's exactly what we do. We'd stop this little internal engine in our mind that's saying, no, not that, yes, this, no, that. We'd just do God's will. We'd just do it. We'd plain just do it. wouldn't argue about it. We wouldn't worry about it. What anybody else was doing, we'd just do it. And if everybody else sitting here did that, we'd be a tidal wave. We'd be an absolute tidal wave for the Lord. If you're here this morning and you need to come, we're inviting you to do that while we stand and sing.